Amen. Thank you. We want us to open our Bibles this evening in Luke's Gospel in the chapter 18. We've looked at chapter 17. Now we're looking at chapter 18. And we commence reading at verse number 9. Now you'll find that there's something equal in those two passages of God's Word. And we'll come to verse number 9 of Luke chapter 18. And Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes to all of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word for his name's sake. Amen. Now the Lord Jesus Christ is on his final journey. The Savior's making his way to Jerusalem and there to the cross, where Jesus Christ will shed his precious blood and die the just one for you and me, the unjust. Now, as the Savior was making his way, the Bible says, go back to chapter 17, verse 11, it came to pass that as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. In other words, on the borderland of Samaria and Galilee, there was a village. Now the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, as he entered into a certain village, he was about to go into this village, and the Word of God tells us there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now here we find 10 men that were lepers, and I have no doubt whatsoever that having leprosy, all of these men were not at the same stages of leprosy, but all of these men had the disease of leprosy. I remember some years ago, I went on a journey to Brazil. You know Dr. Bill Woods? Well, Dr. Bill Woods took me to the leper colony. And there were about 7,000 people there that had contracted leprosy, and those of their loved ones there in that little village of lepers. He took me to the leper hospital, and there I saw people that were in different stages of this disease of leprosy. Now the Bible tells us here that these were 10 men of different stages of their leprosy. They were clothed in garments that were torn, because that was a sign their garments would have been torn, because it was in perpetual mourning because of their state. Now, because they were lepers, I said it was a leper colony in Brazil because they were not in the place where everyone else was. They were in a place on their own because they were lepers. They could not dwell where everyone else dwelt. They were in this particular place on their own. Now, the Bible reminds us that when the people were lepers, they were, the Word of God says, they were standing afar off. In other words, as the Lord Jesus Christ was there coming into this village, they standing at a distance from the Savior were these men who were lepers. And they were alive, but to be quite honest, to look at them, they were just like people who had climbed out of the grave, because they were on the way to death. They were outcast, as I said, living on the fringe of society, whilst their bodies were just rotting away. These men, as lepers, were without hope because there was nothing that was provided for them that would cure them. There was no cure for their leprosy. In other words, they were outcasts. They were away on their own. They would have to cry unclean, unclean at the approach of someone. Now, the interesting thing was this, that these men did not cry those words, unclean. It's not recorded here in this passage of God's word, but they did cry. They did cry. And whilst the Bible says they stood afar off, in other words, as outcasts, they couldn't come near where the Savior was because of their condition, these men were doomed to die. They were doomed to die. They were there and they were helpless to cleanse themselves, and nobody else had the cure for them. Now, the Word of God says that they stood afar off, verse 13, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, let me tell you, my friend, for them to cry and lift up their voices, let me explain this to you. Because leprosy caused an infirmity or deformity of hands, of feet, of ears, of nose, of lips. And so for these men to cry out, they had to really energize themselves. In other words, because there would be a weakness in them, they lifted up their voice. They had to, as it were, use every effort. Why did they do that? Because they acknowledged they were in great need. And Jesus was passing this way. And somehow they heard who Jesus was. And they cried out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In other words, they were longing for cleansing. They wanted to be clean. Now, I want you to notice what they didn't plead. They didn't plead merits. They pleaded for mercy. They didn't plead, which a lot of people today plead, rights. They pleaded for mercy. They threw themselves upon the mercy of the Lord, and they cried out to Him with all their hearts, every part of their being. They had to energize themselves, and with great effort, they cried out, realizing that Jesus was passing that way. And remember, Jesus Christ was passing that way for the last time. He would never pass that way again. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, this was their great opportunity, and they cried, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Have mercy upon us. Now, the mercy of God, my friend, is this. It's different from the grace of God. God's grace is that He gives us what we do not deserve. But God's mercy is that He does not give us what we do deserve. Isn't God merciful? We deserve hell. We deserve punishment from our sin. We deserve to be separated from God forever, because the Bible says your sins have separated between you and God. Your sins, my sin. My friend, listen, it's our sins. He was the sinless, He was the crimeless, He was the faultless, He was the holy Lamb of God. But your sins, and when I tell you this, until you acknowledge your sin, or that the sin is yours, you will never be saved. You will never come to Christ. And here they cried out, Jesus, Savior, Savior, Master, the one in control, have mercy on us. You'll notice Jesus said to them, verse 14, go show thyself unto the priest. Now, my friend, you say, but why did He say that? Well, of course, the priests were those who would examine them, because they were known as lepers before they could ever be allowed into the society once again. But what the emphasis here is this. For them to do, for them to go, it says, it came to pass that as they went. In other words, that was the exercise of faith. Jesus says, go. And then it says, as they went. In other words, they believed the word of the Lord. They took God at his word. They believed what the Savior had said. And as they went, the Bible says, they were cleansed of their leprosy. They exercised faith in the word of God. Now, friend, that's how we're saved. That's how we're saved. God says in his precious word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But friend, you've got to call. You have got to exercise faith in the word of God. Because if you do what he says, whenever the Philippian jailer asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe, arrest yourself upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his work of the cross, and thou shalt be saved. Thank God he believed. Thank God the Philippian jailer believed. He trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. He rested. He took God at his word. Now the word of God says in Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace are ye saved. In other words, you don't deserve it. You don't merit it. It's God's grace. It's God's grace toward man. How gracious God is that whilst we were yet sinners, God provided in his Son the remedy for our sin and sent him to the cross to die, the just one, for us the unjust, that we might be brought to God. But by grace are ye saved through, what's the weapon? Through faith. Through faith. F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust him. And that's how we're saved. Not in works that we have done. It's not in works that we have done. It's by sovereign grace, the grace of God. For God has provided in his Son a remedy for our sin. And thank God, those that rest upon God's word and claim his promises, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, not maybe, hallelujah, shall be. Friend, let me tell you, you can be saved tonight. If you're in this meeting and you're on, say, you can be saved tonight and be sure tonight. Rest your soul upon the finished work of Jesus Christ and take God at his word. Do you remember when that night, whenever the Philippian jailer came? And my, he came into that place where they, where Paul and Silas were, and he threw himself down at their feet, and he trembled. God shook him to the core. I'll tell you, that's what we need today in our meetings. We need God to shake men and women in their sin. The tragedy of this day is there's no fear of God. No fear of God. Oh, God, bring back an awe of thee to our meetings. That men and women, when they come into the meetings, there might be an awe of God. It's an awesome place. It's an awesome place to be in the presence of God Almighty, the God who in him we live and move and have our very being, the God who gave us breath, the God breathed into man and he became a living soul. And we owe everything to him, friend. If God was to withdraw that breath tonight, your body would just drop on the ground and you go out to meet God himself. Because God says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. But whenever the Philippian jailer came in and fell at the feet of Paul and Silas, the Bible tells us that they spake unto him the word of the Lord. And that's, friend, listen, we've got to get to the book. If you're showing someone how to be saved, take them to God's word. Let them see this is what God says. This is not what the free church says. This is not what a preacher in the pulpit says. This is what God says. And so therefore, whenever you're giving them a promise, it's God who promises you. You rest your soul on the promises of God, the hymn writer said, standing on the promises of Christ our King through eternal ages. Let us praise His ring. Glory in the highest, I'll shout and sing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Not just hanging on the premises, standing on the promises. Standing on the promises of God. And they spake unto him and to them, because they spoke to the family too, the word of the Lord. And that night, the Philippian jailer got saved, and thank God his family got gloriously saved as well. Household salvation. He started the night in the darkness, but praise God, he continued in the light, for Christ is the light of this world. Yes, they cried out, Lord, have mercy on us. Now, can I say this before we move into chapter 18 in a moment? You notice the Bible says this in verse 14. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, what did that mean? It means they were healed. They had bodily healing, but not spiritual. Not spiritual. They were healed bodily. Now just look at the next part. It says that one of them came back to the Lord Jesus, verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was what? Healed. He had bodily healing. He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell down on his face at Jesus' feet and he gave him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus said, where there are not 10, where are the 9? Look at verse 19. And Jesus said unto him, now notice it's not them. Jesus said unto him, thy faith hath made the whole. That moment he was saved. He got not only physical cleansing, but he was spiritually made whole. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and friend, you want God to heal you. But I want to tell you, if you're not saved, you have a sickness that's deeper than some bodily ailment. It's a sickness of sin. Because let me tell you this, your bodily ailment can take your body to the grave. Your spiritual sickness can take your soul to hell. And that for all eternity. What you need tonight, far beyond a bodily touch, you need to be sure that you're saved, that you're made whole. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Isn't that what the Lord Jesus said to the woman who came? Turn just for a moment. Keep your finger there in Luke's gospel. Go back to Matthew's gospel, chapter 9. And you remember the wee woman that came behind the Lord Jesus? And she said, if I but may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Verse number 22 of chapter 9 of Matthew says, Jesus turned him about and said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Praise God, she was not only physically whole, praise God, she was spiritually whole. And that's the most important thing in all the world, friend, is that you're saved. You're born again of the Spirit of God. And whilst 9 of them wanted, 10 of them wanted the healing of the body, only one wanted the healing of his soul. But praise God, he got it. He fell at the feet of Jesus and gave all the glory to God. And Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now then come into chapter 18. And you know the Lord Jesus Christ, he met not only those who were ruined, but he met those who were religious. Because the word of God tells us in verse number 9 of chapter 18 that Jesus spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. In other words, there was a people here, and the Lord Jesus Christ brought a word because he knew what was in their heart. Now, what was in their heart? They were like many others today across this world. They are religious, but lost. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. You see, my friend, the Word of God reminds us that there's two kinds of righteousness. There's man's righteousness, and there's God's righteousness. They're not the same. The Bible in Romans chapter 10 tells us that man goes about seeking to proclaim his own or establish his own righteousness. In other words, man feels, I'm good enough. I'm religious. I do the best I can. I pay my debts. And we ought to do that. I live a clean life amongst my neighborhood. I help them as best I can. And the tragedy is that there's some tonight, and that's how they're living, and somehow they think that that will merit something in the presence of God. And God will say to them at the end of the journey, listen, yes, those are your sins, and those are your good works. Now listen, I'll weigh them both up, and I'll see which one comes down best. And if your good works outweigh the bad, sinful deeds, that God says, come on into heaven. Friend, let me tell you, it's rubbish. It's rubbish. The Bible says this, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, listen, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'll tell you this, if you could get to heaven through your good works, then I asked you this question, why did God send his son? Why did God give up the darling of his bosom, his co-equal and co-eternal? Why did God send him from the glory and the adorations of the angels of heaven and send him down into a sin-cursed world where he was despised and rejected of men, where they spit upon him, where they cursed him, where they smote him upon the cheeks, where they pulled the hairs from his cheeks, and they put a crown of thorns upon his head, and then they put him and nailed him upon a cross? Why did God do that? If there was another way that you could get to heaven yourself. I will tell you, friend, the devil's deceiving you if you think that. Because Jesus said this, I am the way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, says Jesus. No man, no matter who he is, no man cometh unto the Father but by me, Jesus. And friend, the devil's deluding yourself. And let me tell you, it says, these were certain that trusted in themselves that they were righteous. In other words, that they, as being righteous, in other words, they were good enough. Do you think you're good enough, friend? Do you not see that God says that there's no difference, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Then how are you good enough? Get into heaven. into a place of sinlessness, holiness, in the presence of God, who is of purer eyes than to look upon sin. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, bare our sins in his own body on the tree, and the darkness surrounded the cross, and Jesus Christ, he died in our guilty room instead, Jesus cried out upon the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Father turned away his face from his Son. And yet you think of somehow that God's going to turn his face to you or me because we're good enough? It's a lie of the devil, friend. The Lord Jesus said the devil's a liar. He's a murderer. And the devil has only one intent for sinners, and that's to damn their souls forever. In actual fact, not only did these people trust in themselves, but it said they despised others. In other words, they looked down their nose at others. And if a man was down in the gutter of sin, they sort of put their nose in the air and said, oh, I wouldn't be like him. This is what that man said. I'm glad I'm not like other men are. And I'm certainly not like that old publican. Isn't it desperate how the devil deceives men and women? The God of the world has blinded the eyes of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel would shine in. The devil wants to blind your eyes, friend, and put you into the darkness, and then bring you into the darkness of hell forever. Because the Bible says hell is the place of blackness, of darkness forever. So the Lord Jesus talked about very quickly in the closing moments. Notice two people in this passage. One the Pharisee and the other the publican. Now the Pharisees in Bible times were known for their religious piety. In other words, their observance of the Jewish laws and the interpretations of them. They were highly respected among the Jewish society. Going to the temple was a habit for them, yes, at the time of prayer. It was a custom. And when they would arrive at the temple, they would go to the courts of the temple, a place where prayer was commonly offered. And whilst that was a good practice, because men ought always to pray and not to faint, yet, my friend, they had perverted this practice and turned it into something that wasn't about God at all. It was seeking the praise of man. They wanted others to see them as different from everybody else. Now, the word Pharisee means to separate. And they were known as separated ones. Not like the lepers. They were separated because of their disease. But here we find that these were separated because of their religiosity, their supposed superior piety. But this was not separated unto the Lord, friend. God calls his people to be a separate people unto himself. But they were not separated unto the Lord. They were separated unto themselves. And tonight, you can study the Word of God. Jesus talked about the Pharisees. And tonight, you read it in your Bible, even when you go home, in Matthew chapter 23. And what did Jesus say? Over and over and over again, in Matthew 23, verse 13, verse 15, verse 23, verse 25, verse 27, verse 29. And each of those, what did Jesus say? Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. In other words, they were only actors. You see, they were acting as if they were right with God. but their hearts were far from God. They had a mask on. It covered up their sin. But Jesus says, woe unto you. The curse of God was upon them because their hearts were hard or far from God. Do you remember the lepers stood afar off? The Pharisees were afar off from God. But they were stuffed with religion. Let me tell you, friend, it's not religion Ulster needs. It's not religion you need. It's righteousness you need. Righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, which is reckoned to the sinner by faith in the sacrifice of Christ and the redeeming blood of Christ upon the cross. This man stood. And the Bible says, yes, the other was a publican. Now, what was a publican? A publican was a renegade Jew. He was looked upon as a traitor, both religiously and politically. He was regarded as a traitor because he was the one that had become a part of the Roman system. He was a tax collector. He worked for the Roman authorities. And therefore, the people felt that they had sold themselves out. You see, the Pharisee was a master of religion. But as far as the publican was concerned, he was looked upon a monster in society. In actual fact, he was not allowed to hold any public office. Publican couldn't do that. In actual fact, it goes further. He was barred, whenever he became a publican, he was barred from giving evidence in a court. His word couldn't be trusted. He was an outcast. There's the two people, very quickly. Notice the two prayers. Secondly, the two prayers. Because the Bible tells us that the Pharisee, he stood by himself. Verse number 11, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He stood by himself. He was standing in a place where everyone could notice him. He was standing there in that prominent place where he could be seen and where he could be heard. Probably he felt that others were unworthy to be near his holy person. He was clad in his flowing robes, and he stood there in his self-righteousness. And the Bible said he prayed by himself. He prayed with himself. Because notice, God got one mention, and he got five. God, I thank thee. That was it. I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. I fast twice a week. I give my tithes of all that I possess. His prayer, I thank thee, I'm not. I fast, I give, I possess. Five eyes. That's why Jesus said he prayed with himself. It was all about him. He prayed about himself. Friend, let me tell you, this was simple formality. This was not a hard prayer. This was just ritualism. And let's be honest, Ulster's cursed with it. People go through a rigmarole of prayers. never thinking. The one they're talking to. But notice the prayer of the publican. Could I just say this? You notice in this prayer, the Pharisee's prayer, he had need of nothing. Never asked God for anything. It was I. He had everything on himself. But then the publican cried, God, be merciful to me. To me. A sinner. And in the original word, a is the sinner. The sinner. See the difference, friend? See, the publican realized his need. He realized that he was a sinner. The Pharisee had no sense of a sin, no sense of failure. Everything that he needed was in himself. No sense of need. But the publican, you know, he bowed his head. You know what Jews, it was common practice for Jews for to stand and look up when they were praying. Psalm 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. And it was common practice or common posture for Jews to stand and look up when they were praying. Yes, praying reverently to God. But notice the publican. He looked down. Because the Bible tells us that the publican standing afar off would not lift up as much as his eyes unto heaven. He realized his lostness, his helplessness, his hopelessness. And he smote himself on the breast. Why? Because he realized the seat of his problem and iniquity was in his heart. As out of the heart of man proceeds all these evil things and sin. And so he smote himself upon the breast, upon the heart. And he cried, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Notice he didn't pray merits. Mercy. God, everything they say about me is true. And even more. But God, be merciful. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Let thine anger against my sin be removed on the basis of the blood sacrifice of thy Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. And lastly, the two paths. What did Jesus say? Verse 14, I tell you, this man, that's the old publican, this man went down to his house. There's his path home. He went down justified, just as if he never had sinned, pardoned, free, accepted to God. Through Christ's atoning blood. But rather than the other. How did the other go down, friend? He went home the way that he came. In a sin. Let me ask you. How will you go home tonight? Will you go home a sinner? You go home the same way as you came. Religious. But lost. On your way to hell itself. Men and women, I beg you tonight, young people, come to Christ. Throw yourself upon the mercy of the Lord. In 1981, President Ronald Reagan was nearly assassinated. His pastor from California came to see him in the hospital, Washington, D.C. And the pastor sat down beside President Reagan and he took him by the hand and he asked him this question. He says, "President, how is it with you and the Lord?" It said that President Reagan replied, "Pastor, everything is fine with me and the Lord." And the pastor said, "But President, how do you know?" And Ronald Reagan replied, "I have the Savior. I have the Savior." Friend, let me tell you, that's all that matters. Not matter about your bank account. Not matter about your fortune. Because remember, you leave it all. But tell me, have you the Savior? This man, said Jesus, this man went home justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this evening. We thank Thee, the entrance of Thy word giveth light. And I pray that by Thy Holy Spirit that Thou wilt, Lord, just show men and women not only their need of Jesus, but, O Spirit of God, call them to faith and repentance in Christ. We thank Thee that the old publican acknowledged his sin. He repented, he turned from his sin. And he threw himself upon Thy mercy and Thy grace. Lord, if there's one tonight in the service that's not saved, don't let them go home that way. Save them now. Friend, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, can I say to you simply, lovingly, if there's someone here tonight and you're not saved, you say, "Preacher, I'd love to know Jesus as my Savior." Friend, I'd love to point you to Christ. I'd love to do what Paul and Silas did. Open the Word, speak unto you the Word of the Lord, give you the promises of God, that you might know for certain that you're saved and ready for heaven. Don't leave without Christ. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with us, not only this night, but every day that dawns and night that falls, to Jesus come or call, and then forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Friend, thank you for listening to God's word tonight. But having heard, don't stop there. Take the step of faith that you might go home tonight with Jesus saying, "Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." May God bless you.